Greetings from the Northwest homeland, comrades. It's May the 12th, 2011. I'm Harold Covington, and this is Radio Free Northwest. This week's podcast will be shorter than usual, and there will be no musical interludes, because what I have to say this week is of vital importance. I want to keep it short and simple and avoid any potential distractions. On Thursday, May the 5th, Edgar Steele was found guilty of all four charges against him. The media has reported that he now faces 30 years in prison at sentencing. They're wrong. Edgar Steele is a man of 65 with severe medical problems. Whatever the judge gives him, the sentence will be death. It's customary to wait until someone is dead before burying them. Edgar Steele will be buried alive. This elderly man, who spent his entire adult life serving the law and the judicial system which has betrayed him and destroyed him, will be warehoused in a box somewhere in the Gulag archipelago of the vast slave labor system which the American government and the American corporations run for their profit, and there Edgar Steele will wait to die. That's all that's left for him now. The so-called trial of Edgar Steele was an unmitigated horror. The so-called trial of Edgar Steele was arguably the final degradation of the once proud and vibrant legal system that we inherited from our ancestors in Great Britain. It is a tradition spanning 8 centuries, which began in June of 1215 in the meadow of Runnymede with the creation of the Magna Carta, the great charter that above all established the rule of law as the basic underlying principle of Anglo-Saxon society. That tradition of almost 8 centuries came to an end on May the 5th, 2011, when a sick and elderly man was murdered by the courts of the United States, because those who rule us did not like what Edgar Steele had to say, and decided to destroy him, out of no reason that anyone can determine other than petty, vindictive, senile spite. With one bang of a federal judge's gavel, the world returned to the 13th century, as if the previous 800 years had never been. Once more we're back in the days when the king, or the local baron, can simply command his henchman to drag a peasant away into the castle dungeon so that the lord may take his home, his cow, his daughter, or his life at will. Edgar Steele's defense was simple. He didn't do it. He did not say the things that the alleged audio recordings have him saying, nor was this mere paranoia on his part. It was not a conspiracy theory. There is, in fact, extensive electronic and forensic evidence that the recorded conversations between Edgar Steele and Larry Fairfax were tampered with and altered by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. But the jury was never allowed to see that evidence or hear it. Two electronics experts were willing to swear in court to the fact that the audio tracks had been tampered with by the FBI, citing over 351 suspicious instances where there appeared to be alterations on the tracks. They were prepared to say in open court that these audio recordings were fraudulent. But these experts were not allowed to testify by order of the judge. The precedent has now been established that henceforth no one will be allowed to question the veracity or authenticity of any evidence presented in court by the FBI. From this point on, the American secret police are free to come up with any piece of fabricated rubbish they feel like in order to frame someone that the government finds inconvenient for crimes that he or she did not commit. There have been others before Edgar Steele, too many others. But now that the FBI has been given the green light by the judge in this case, there will be many more to come. The grotesque and vicious Edgar Steele case has further established that no American any longer has the right to present a defense against whatever absurd and deranged charges some U.S. attorney sees fit to bring against them, without first obtaining permission from the very system and the very government functionaries who seek their destruction. What's wrong with this picture? I'm severely hampered here because I'm unable to say publicly what really should be said. The First Amendment, the right to express any opinion and to do so without punishment and retaliation by those in power, the freedom of speech and of thought which was once this country's crowning glory, is no more. In Obama's America, white men who say or write things which the regime or certain politically protected minorities find disagreeable are now openly subject to harassment, legal persecution, and, in Edgar Steele's case, to judicial murder. It's been like that for quite some time, of course, but last Thursday's verdict has finally stripped the last veneer of legality and legitimacy off the criminal power structure that rules us. It can no longer be denied or ignored anymore that the government of the United States is no longer a legitimate or lawful government, for they have finally violated their own laws and their own standards so egregiously that the social contract that allows them to rule us is broken for all time. From now on, the government of the United States is just another gang of thugs, no different from the Crips or the Bloods, only better dressed and better armed. Nor are they particularly brave or manly thugs. America is a coward that shows its prowess in destroying old men. In the same week in which Edgar Steele was crucified by the same system he so foolishly spent most of his life serving, another elderly man was murdered in a house in Pakistan by gunmen from the United States, who broke into his home and shot him dead, unarmed, in front of his family, without even the shabby sham of a trial that Edgar Steele got. Many years before, in the same Idaho that perpetrated this ghastly outrage against Steele, the same gunman murdered 14-year-old Sam Weaver by shooting him in the back and later on shot Vicky Weaver dead in the door of her home while she was holding her baby in her arms. The government that framed and murdered Edgar Steele are the same people who burned children alive at Waco and continue to fire multi-million-dollar predator drones at elementary schools and Muslim weddings in Iraq and Afghanistan. The United States and its thugs are really good at killing old men, women, and children. I can't help but wonder just how big and bad and tough all these FBI and BATF and U.S. Marshals would be if they ever came up against grown men who had the skill and the courage to shoot back. In fact, I've written several novels on the subject. America is not an eagle. America is a rat with a yellow stripe running down its back. They don't have to worry, though. We who remain will not deal with the judicial murder of Edgar Steele as we should, as upright and honorable free men should, as our own ancestors not too long ago would have done. We will not deal with the destruction of Edgar Steele as decency and justice demand, because we lack the will, the self-respect, and above all, we lack the courage to do so. All we will do, while Edgar Steele is dragged away to his tomb, is to whine on the internet. No one will hear us, and no one would listen to us if they did, because our craven acquiescence to this monstrous act renders us unworthy of notice. So be it. One has to play the hand one is dealt. But at least I'm going to say what has to be said, and if you FBI and Justice Department reptiles who are listening to this are displeased by what I have to say, I promise you, you won't have to alter and falsify this recording like you did those recordings of Edgar Steele and your informer Larry Fairfax. I'm going to say what needs to be said, and if you don't like it, you can all go straight to hell. Edgar Steele used to end all of his articles on his Conspiracy Pen Pal website with his signature phrase, "New America, an idea whose time has come." He was wrong. The solution is not a new America, Ed. It's no America. America must end. It is a diseased, leprous thing. There is no health or goodness in it. There hasn't been for a long time. And the ultimate interest of all humanity lies in this rotting and poisonous monster called the United States being removed from the earth. All of us know in our souls what has to be done. The problem is that out of our own weakness and cowardice, we're just sitting around waiting for someone else to do it. But that won't last forever. Eventually, someone will do what has to be done and expunge the United States and the worms and grubs who serve it from the earth. Tyranny such as this inevitably becomes intolerable, and at some point, even the most supine and cowardly of people will reach a point where the chains of fear and intimidation and brainwashing and bullying will not hold any longer. And they find that they would rather die themselves than live one more day like this. It's virtually certain that Edgar Steele will be dead in body as well as in law by then. I wish I could promise you all that someday the prison doors will be blown open and Edgar Steele will be brought out into the light again, but I can't. There may or may not be a storming of the Bastille, in that sense, during our lifetimes. I can't make that decision. Only you who are listening to this can. What I will do now, as a kind of epitaph for a fine and decent man and a damn good writer and commentator who has drawn the short straw and who must now descend into living hell never to return, is I will read an article of my own that I wrote a few years ago. It's called Let's Talk a Little Treason. In Ireland, when a man has an old friend over for dinner, after the meal is over, he'll generally tell his wife the traditional Irish tale. Love, Seamus and I are going down to the pub and talk a little treason. That's from Brendan Behan, I think. Oh, hell, let's come right out and say it. Us white boys need to be talking a little treason. I notice that the great state of Oregon is about to pass more grotesque hate crime laws in favor of sodomites, making perverts who commit the filthiest acts imaginable. Now, people don't really seem to realize just what it is that homosexuals actually do. Anyway, this new law makes them into a politically and legally protected class. Better than me in the eyes of the law. Better than any white man who likes girls, because they will have specific legal protections that we are denied. There is no more equality under the law. Some states are even worse. In Idaho, all women, period, are considered a special politically and legally protected class under these deranged hate crime laws, effectively meaning that only heterosexual white males are without legal protections against so-called hate, and only white males can be victimized only on the lowest level as mere Americans. Less than a woman of their own race, less than a Mexican, less than a faggot, less than a black. 3/5 of a man at best. I'm going to say something now to all my fellow girl-loving honkies, and I'm dead serious. I think we need to start reevaluating our relationship with the United States of America with a view towards bringing that relationship to an end. America gives us nothing except ridicule, hatred, contempt, and oppression. America ignores our interests, laughs at us and reviles us, picks our pockets, discriminates against us with affirmative action and racial quotas, and kicks us in the teeth when we try to protest or petition for the redress of just grievances. America rigs the electoral process so that no one without $10 million in the bank should even think about running for office, and so that only criminals, incompetents, and mentally unbalanced mediocrities can win. America passes laws that give foreigners who are in our country illegally and perverts who literally wallow in their own filth during sexual acts a preferred and privileged legal status over us. Every time we turn on the television, we see grinning black and brown monkey faces mocking and reviling us, mincing faggots waving their limp wrists mocking and reviling us, toilet-mouthed Jews like the loathsome Sarah Silverman spewing hatred and abuse at us, pathological liars in the White House and Congress pissing down our back and assuring us with solemn faces that it's raining. Thanks to the media and the Jews who control the media, when the world thinks of white males, they think of revolting cartoon characters. George Washington, Daniel Boone, and Charles Lindbergh have been replaced by Homer Simpson and Peter Griffin. White women are in their own way just as much victims as white men are, although some of them haven't quite seen sufficiently through the feminist horseshit to understand that. Now, if we can ever succeed in deprogramming our sisters and making them understand what has been done to them so that they realize that their place is by their menfolk's side and not with the Jews who hate them and hold them in just as much contempt as they do white men, calling them shixes and so forth, well, if we can ever succeed in doing that, you kikes had better start running. White people do the real work in this country. Mexicans and blacks do nothing that couldn't be done twice as well and at half the expense by a good cart horse. Robotics will eventually make the black man and the brown man completely obsolete. White people pay the overwhelming percentage of the taxes that finance the grotesque horror show that is America. White boys and increasingly girls are dragged into the military and come back from the Jews' foreign wars with their bodies mangled to rot in the filthy army hospitals like Walter Reed because the influx of illegal aliens has taken all the entry-level jobs in their hometowns and there's no future for white kids where they grew up. White people, especially boys, are denied access to college education, to employment, to workplace promotion and job stability because of their skin color, because of their gender, and increasingly because of their age. I could go on and on, but if you're white, you know what I'm talking about, and if you're not white, I'm not talking to you anyway. Guys and gals, let me ask you something. What the hell do we owe a society that treats us like this? The neocons wave their red, white, and blue Masonic dish rags and babble about all this freedom we've got. Bullshit. What freedom? The freedom to never be able to get any kind of decent career because you're the wrong color and you've got convex genitalia? the freedom not to be admitted to college because their quota for white boys was filled by the sons of the wealthy elite long before you even applied, the freedom to spend 30 years in the workforce and see incompetent affirmative action employees promoted over your head year after year. What freedom? The freedom to pay one-third of your income to support stupid wars in the Middle East to protect the Jews from the consequences of their own behavior? The freedom to quote-unquote vote in elections where half the time these arrogant swine no longer bother to conceal the massive fraud? What freedom? The freedom to have your children corrupted by the endless tsunami of filth from the television screen and taught sodomy techniques in high school? The freedom to have your son and your daughter come back from Iraq in a plastic bag or minus some limbs because all the jobs in their hometown have been gobbled up by the illegals and the military was the only place they could get a paycheck? What freedom? The freedom to be insulted, belittled, and spat on every time we turn on a TV or pick up a newspaper? The freedom to eventually be carried off to the living hell of some state-run nursing home when the government finally finds some way to steal the Social Security and Medicare fund and piss it away in the deserts of Iraq or blow it on the stock market? What the hell kind of loyalty do we owe to a government that has made us third-class citizens? What the hell kind of loyalty do we owe to a state that uses us like toilet paper and throws us away? Why exactly should we respect the rights of media garbage people who give us nothing but insults, contempt, and vilification? Why exactly should we allow our country to be taken over by millions of Mexican mestizos and all the overflow from the third world's sewers and never raise a hand in our own defense because the tyrant's law forbids it? Yes, yes, I know. The United States of America is the law. Of course it is. Tyrants always are the law. That's why they're tyrants and not just simple gangsters. The difference between Barack Hussein Obama and John Gotti is only a technicality of paperwork, except that Gotti dressed better and killed a lot fewer people. When the law is cruel and uncaring, when the law is vicious, when the law is oppression wrapped up in pieces of paper and forced down the throats of the powerless, the coerced, and the cowed, when the law is enforced by steroid-popping bullies with badges and jackals with briefcases and reptiles in black robes who use it solely to maintain their own power over other human beings and to squeeze them dry of every last wretched penny they possess, when the law is being used to do you and your family harm, then you are under no obligation to obey it. In every society, there is a social contract that cuts both ways. The United States Constitution was an attempt to create such a contract, and up until 1861, it worked. But we need to be very clear on this. The white American has upheld that contract and is even now upholding it as the blood of our young men is spilled in the Iraqi desert and the Afghan mountains. It's the federal government of the United States and the squamous alien things who have stolen it away from us, who have violated that social contract again and again and again over the past century. Like an abused wife, white Americans have put up with it all from our lying, cheating, thieving, murdering government. The beatings, the drinking up the rent money, the lipstick on the collar, the constant bullying and browbeating. But even the most abused spouse eventually decides it's time for a divorce. That time has come. Enough. Fuck the United States government. Fuck democracy. Fuck America. We have seen enough. We've had enough, and we want out. Yeah, I know. Our ancestors tried this in 1861. Well, it's time for a rematch. Here in the Northwest, and any place else where white males are tired of being treated like dogs and finally decide to show the Jews that dogs have teeth. And you know something? I think if we ever do pull off the old Macbeth trick and screw our courage to the sticking point, as Shakespeare put it, I suspect the world will discover that as far as the baby shit brown Barack Hussein Obama goes, well, he damn sure ain't no Abraham Lincoln. The United States has murdered Edgar Steele. He's just not physically dead yet. There's one thing and one thing alone that we can do for him. We can make sure that his work continues to be read and that his name is never forgotten. The Americans are fools. They've taken from us the lives of our martyred dead, but they have left us their names and their memories. And from those memories and from that martyred blood will spring a force that someday will unleash the fury of hell upon the vile tyranny that has done this and on all those who have served that tyranny for a monthly direct deposit paycheck into their bank accounts. Someday, at the hand of someone, most likely as yet unknown, the filth that is America will be purged from the world with fire and sword. The darkness that covers this land will be lifted, and a new generation of white children will be born and grow strong in the light. And when they do, they will remember the name of Edgar Steele, while the dogs who devoured him will be consigned to oblivion. Well, our time is up, and so that's it for this week's edition of Radio Free Northwest. This program is brought to you by the Northwest Front, Post Office Box 4856, Seattle, Washington, 98194. Or you can go to the party's website at www.northwestfront.org. This is Harold Covington, and I'll see you next week. Until then, Sasha Andaban. Freedom.